Hello and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Dean, I feel like I have to fill up that cup a little extra today, you know?
Man, I'm already, look, I know we're on the first cup, but I'm already on the third cup.
I do not doubt you on that. It's certainly been that kind of morning, and it's a summertime, right? Christmas seems like it was 6 months ago.
You know, it does have that feel to it. Because it's like 70 degrees out here already, and the sun is shining and the birds are chirping. So I'm going to say, yes, it is summertime.
It's got to be. I know that the weather down here in Southern California is supposed to be improving towards the weekend. That's always good. But yeah, it used to be one of these things that, you know, it numbers kind of thing that, you know, come Christmas time. The day after is usually the day of when I'm like a little bit of regret of, oh, I probably could have got better gifts for people. Oh. Or I could have got the Christmas cards out earlier. And then I think of some fellow employees I've worked with who, you know, use that big time shopping time after Christmas literally to get on their list for next year.
Right, right.
But even in terms of just Christmas is, you know, and again, for those who celebrate or not, you know, think of it as your holiday season or your time away from the office. It's one of those things that, you know, it's a marked point in time. It's right at the end of the year. So, you know, it's like 52 weeks away the day after or 365 days away. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to believe we've already are like 10% of the way to next Christmas because we're through the month of January. We're recording this the first Tuesday of February.
Yes, yes. So. And then I'm gonna blow your mind extra hard. And then next week we'll be halfway through February.
I know, isn't that crazy?
That is insane.
I know. I mean, I know it's a month of only 28 days and all that, but still.
And
then the other thing the market buys, you know, usually paydays. So I mean, yeah, I mean it was like those first two, you know, because you get half in the middle of the month and half at the end or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean we already. Couple days into February.
Man.
I know.
Time is just flying by. And I felt like this, you know, about the weekend because I feel like we just blinked and then it was already Monday. Like
that's pretty much every weekend. That's all this pandemic stuff has done to me is now there really is no sense of like in the past it was like you go home on Friday from the office, which means you don't have to drive again to the office till Monday morning. So you literally had 2.5 days or whatever to do whatever you really wanted to, you know. You know, you could spend those days and go to Vegas and just stay up for 2.5 days and then roll in on Monday. Not that I did that. Or you could, you know, literally read probably at the rate I read a book. Yeah, maybe 2 books. Or I could go outside and get some sun.
Yeah.
You know, or all those type of things. But now it's just, I mean, I don't want to tell everyone how long I was up till last night, but it was this morning, really. Working on student petitions, so.
Oh, man.
You know how that is. But, yeah, it just Monday rolls.
It's just fluid, yeah. Time is fluid, man.
Rolls into Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday rolls into Wednesday. By the time I hit Wednesday, it's like, are we really halfway through? No, we were a little more. And then come Thursday, where people like to pile on all-day meetings. That's a big one in our district. And then come Friday. Yeah, so I don't know what day today is. I think they say it's Tuesday. Let's go with that.
That's how I know it is Tuesday, is because we do podcasts on Tuesday.
That's true.
And Friday. Yeah, that's
the,
how I know.
The recording of the podcast early in the morning does help set the schedule for the day. It does. And this is only Zoom number one of five today. So, you know, not a bad schedule in a way. I think it's one of five. Yes, because I have four of them I see on my little Zoomy calendar here. And one of them was set by someone else, so it's not on the calendar itself.
Okay.
So, yeah. The first thing we did, and two of these meetings today, Dana, that I'm doing by Zoom are two pre-recorded sessions for our CSER conference.
Awesome.
So I think we talked about this when we talked about the conference agenda, and we kind of went over that and previewed it for everybody, is to have two of the breakout sessions, about 50 minutes apiece. We're going to be roundtable discussions with some of the financial aid directors and such across the state on the effects of the pandemic on their offices, but not so much in the human sense, because I don't want to get into what kind of issues they may have had with staff, or if there's any of those horrible things that have happened, because that's really too personal. I want to just kind of stick to the surface of operations. What have we done? And you know this too. What have we done? The minute we got off campus, how did we continue to connect with students? Did we employ some technology? Did we change duties of staff? Did Dana Yarbrough become the one and only contact for Cal Grants? And did someone else in the office become the one and only contact for something else? And we split up duties differently, or probably more likely, did you all end up sharing everything?
Yeah, I was going to say, that sounds like our offices. We're sharing everything.
Exactly. Yeah. So these are the kinds of things. So I want to make sure we take time in this first session. I want to make sure for the two roundtables, and all it is it's going to be the same topics repeated with different people who have volunteered. So they're people from the exec board, people from financial aid offices across the state. as far as what they have done, I want to kind of get some ideas and pick their brains. So what kind of questions do you think Dana and I should be asking our group here?
One thing our office has been trying to address is helping students to complete their files after they submit the FAFSA application. So I know you might be aware, Dennis, we had this huge Campus Logic project where we did outreach to individuals, again, who haven't submitted like their various documents, such as, verification documents or anything else they needed to complete the file. So it'd be just interesting to find out, how maybe other campuses are doing outreach to help students do that. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. As far as, I think helping the students complete files probably is top priority for a lot of schools, because it's one thing when they're at least on campus and they walk by the office and ask, or they happen to have some random papers in their hand.
Right.
But now it's we don't have that interaction. How do we pull them in if they're not fully remembering to check out their student portal?
Right.
And stuff, or watch their emails.
Yes. So for the Campus Logic project, we reached out to students by phone, and then follow up by a pending letter, or like an outreach letter,
Okay. I like that.
Yeah. So it would just be interesting to know again, like maybe what other offices are
how
doing.
How they're handling that.
Yeah.
Aspect.
How they're handling that. Cause I think we're doing pretty good as far as assisting students to complete the FAFSA application itself. It's just, now we need you to complete the file if you need to submit verification documents or whatever else you need to submit.
Well, if all the numbers are true that, we just met, had a staff meeting last week, and we had the president and all the VPs from the college in on our staff meeting to say hi. And there was, all those numbers from our VP of admin services. We have, if you look at our ICERs, those are the results of FAFSAs that a school gets and downloads. They called ICERs. ISIR. we have lots of those. We have lots of those.
Absolutely.
But if you compare that to the number of students who actually complete their files, it there's a big gap. And so why? Mm-hmm. You know, and obviously students, when they do the FAFSA, they can list colleges they think they might go to. So we certainly have plenty of students who never apply for admissions, but we have their FAFSA results. But there are those students in the middle there. We have their FAFSA results. They're going to our school, and their files are not completed. And so, yeah, okay, that's I'm going to put that down. That's like topic number one. You know, how do we get students? What are you doing that you are doing to outreach and communicate to students? You know, I know one thing that will probably come out of it is, you know, some schools might be doing things beyond just emails. But I have to say, I know we have plenty of colleagues out there who are like, students never read their emails. And usually my first response, if I'm just, you know, off the hook or whatever, mm-hmm. will be, that's not my problem. That's their problem. And mm-hmm. I know that sounds mean and all, but the reality is if you know that is the way that you're going to be communicated with, I would suggest checking your email. That's just me. But I think we actually have seen, and you can tell me, I think we've seen probably a larger percentage, and it's anecdotal, of students who are checking their email.
Oh, yeah, especially now that we're home.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, we don't have a real great phone solution, although we're going to be getting one soon.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there's really no other way to communicate. You know, the students can't come on campus, so they really do have to, you know, check their emails and respond to them or email us because they want to find out how to submit forms, although that's not our way to do it. You know, mm-hmm. they need to figure all that out. What other things? What you as a staff person, Dana, mm-hmm. in the office, ingrained into the culture of the college and the office. Should I ask them maybe a question about how they're connecting with their staff? You know, like meetings, mini meetings. Are they doing it regularly? How are we checking up on each other?
I would say absolutely. And not just connecting on a professional level where, like you're saying, where it's like staff meetings, but also just like, I know it kind of sounds hokey or a little corny, but just wellness checks, you know, too. I know that last year we did one where we met through, you know, via Zoom, obviously, you know, just to catch up with each other and, you know, see how everybody was doing. So, yeah, absolutely.
And I know that goes along with, you know, this is why I think I want to ask it is you have been the party planning crew chief.
Oh, yeah.
For the office. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, when you have an office culture, and I assume many of our colleagues do, where birthdays come along and you mm-hmm. do something, and milestones come along and you do something, you know, beyond just retirements, but, you know, which many of our offices are experiencing. But you want to try to kind of still replicate some of that, you know, celebrate student workers graduating.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, we just did.
Which we, yeah.
Yeah, last week. Uh-huh.
So I definitely think that's something that wellness checks. I like that. How are we doing those? And see what kind of ideas have come out from our people across the state.
Yeah, and I think it's a good way, like you mentioned, to stay connected with staff. And then it just boosts more staff morale and camaraderie and community and connectivity. So absolutely.
Okay, wonderful. Mm-hmm. I like this.
And now that we're talking about it, I might have mm-hmm. to bring it up to the supervisor and ask her if we can plan another one.
Another thing already? Okay. And I'm just kidding, of course.
Yeah, because it was, you know, when we did ours last week with the student workers, it was so good, you know, seeing everybody who turned their cameras on, of course.
That Which always most helps. Of them did. You know, I know one, I think we had at least one person who had some technical difficulties.
Issues, yeah, some difficulties.
That always happens.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's just nice to see everybody, nice to joke around and, you know, again, like, you know, catch up. It's just so good.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you know, we used to do those staff retreats where we go to a park or we went bowling and had lunch. Mm-hmm. And you could get everyone out of the office for a while and just on a social level, even for those who were I don't say antisocial, but not quite as social as others.
Right, right. They might not be as vocal or active as you would hope. Uh-huh. But it's still good to do anyways, even mm-hmm. if, you know, again, if you have workers that don't want to participate in, and we do have individuals who are like that.
Oh, I still of course. Think it's,
I still think it's good just for the sake of it, mm-hmm. just to tell you the truth. Yeah. Just yeah. for the sake of it.
So, yeah. How do you replicate that in a world where
right.
very few of the colleges right now have it where mm-hmm. most or all of their staff can come back and work in the office. Mm-hmm. So they're probably not doing in-person things. And you may have some staff who don't want to do in-person things right now. You know, family matters or whatever. So, okay. I like that. Couple other ideas here before we get on to our second segment. I assume I should be asking some questions about technology, you think?
That's obvious. Yes. Yes. And I'm actually really curious about this too. How, you know, what technology they're using mm-hmm. and how they're using it. Cause you know, we're using Cranium, we're using Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are like the two major ones that we've been using.
I like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And then write that down.
we still use other social media platforms too, right? Like our Instagram and Facebook as well.
You know, that's a good question always.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down. Does social media play into any plans, processes, etc.? Because, you know, this is something we deal with also on the association level too with CISFA.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Facebook page and we have a Twitter. And the number of followers and probably both of those could fit in my apartment and still have 6 feet of and still have six feet of social distancing.
Mm-hmm.
It's nobody's really into it. And I don't know if it's, you know, some of it's generational. Facebook is certainly generational, as in the greatest generation generational. Right. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's not there for the young kids in the same way anymore. And Twitter, I've gotten out of most of my social media, so I do not know quite the use of that anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if it's a case that sometimes is it worth putting the effort in. The reason this I'm leading up to is even with our office accounts, I don't know how much we do actively with either one and or truly how many followers we have.
Oh, you know? Okay.
Because like, for example, if you're a school of 10,000 students, and half of them get some kind of aid, you're at 5,000. Now, I would say that the goal would be is to have somewhere between 5 and 10,000 students on your Twitter account and Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess, again, this is purely theoretical, because then you know you're really getting the message out to everyone. But my guess is that we are probably in the low hundreds, like closer to the 100 area,
okay.
for any one of our given I think we have an Instagram account too, probably completely okay. blank. You know, at least 100 people per social media platform. So are we really getting the word out that much? And even most campuses, you know, that I can think of for their campus ones, popularity is a little tough. So, you know, the value to that, that's my question in mind. Does it play into anyone's plans and processes? So I'm going to throw that question in on the round table too.
Okay. And then look, now that you mentioned that,
uh-huh.
maybe you guys can talk about, are there any thoughts or ideas on how we can rebrand or brand this idea of financial aid to make it more appealing to the youth of today? And I think this, we've actually had this conversation when we were back in the office.
We probably did.
I think we did. Yeah.
I suggest that we get everyone a landline telephone. Right? No, I guess not. And learn Morse code so they can do the telegraph.
Oh, man, you said Morse code. I was going to say smoke signals.
Smoke signals. There you go. Yes. What's the appropriate size? I don't know what you call it. Smoke signal blanket? You have to think about it. I assume there's a technical term for it.
Uh-huh.
And what if it's raining? You know?
Oh, boy. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Uh-huh. So yeah, I think that would be an interesting topic too.
I like that. Okay, well, I think we've got a good amount of questions here for me to go from. You know, this is good planning that I've asked you to help me with, Dana. So I think we're going to do a little musical interlude and then move our way into some news. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right.
And we're back for our second cup on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
Time for a little refill here.
Look, I'm all, look, I was on three when we started. Now I'm on four.
I believe you. All right. Guess for that, then I will take the first news item.
Sounds good to me.
Oh, good. Okay. So FSA, or Federal Student Aid, the people under the Department of Ed that handle all the give and take from colleges, they published a Dear Colleague letter last week, Friday, regarding an update to the use of professional judgment by financial aid administrators. The letter, known as GEN 21-02, reminds us of our ability to exercise documented professional judgment when determining eligibility of students for federal student aid, and encourages us to consider the circumstances that may arise for students and their families due to the ongoing pandemic. Adding to guidance from last April in an electronic announcement, and as a reminder, really, we may use documentation of unemployment, including but not limited to the receipt of unemployment benefits, to reduce or adjust to zero the income earned from work for a student and or their parents, and make adjustments to the adjusted gross income as reported on a student's FAFSA. Because that's one of the biggest driving numbers to figuring out students need is the adjusted gross income.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So we can mark it down to zero. So this option's been around for a while, but this new Dear Colleague letter helps reinforce and remind us of options available to the financial aid office when reviewing family circumstances in regards to aid eligibility. So we'll include a link in, to the letter in our show notes for everybody to view that.
Now, Dennis, I know you aren't the person responsible for administering the CARES funds at our college, but have you checked out the 10 HERF Ask Regs Q&As you shouldn't miss on the NASFA website?
Not yet, but I will.
Okay. So NASFA has compiled the most pertinent and important questions out of their Ask Regs knowledge base that cover the Higher Education Emergency Relief Funds, or HERF. It's a required read for all of us in financial aid, as it helps explain the allowable uses for these funds, including funds left over from our first batch of funds from last spring. We'll include a link to the list in our show notes.
Yeah, I think this will help answer, because I know there's one of our colleagues, a former president of another association, always likes to send out reminders and little snippets from the Ask Regs part of the NASFA website. And so it's questions, you know, for example, and this is what we're dealing with right now, and I think other colleges are too. We sent out a lot of emergency grants to students last April, May.
Yes, we did.
Right? Uh-huh. We tried to do block grants and X amount per student because we had $1.5 million like at our school. And if you're going to do applications, let's say for $1,500 a student, you'd have to do 1,000 applications. And the whole idea at that point was we really need to get the money out now.
ASAP, yeah.
Right? And so, yeah, you know, we could have created a process that would take 6 months or so to do, but that wasn't the goal. But what we found out is, you know, certain amount of those students never picked up their money. We sent it through our dispersing agent who dispersed it. And if those people had never picked the bank account to do EFT or picked the debit card, or we sent paper checks in some cases and those paper checks never got cashed.
Okay.
Now we've got funds left over. And so the questions lately on Ask Regs has been stuff like, what do we do in the cases of reusing that money? Because the concern is when we look at the way CARES Act funding has been back in the spring, and then the new stuff that's just come out in December, what they call HERF 2 or whatever, eligibility is slightly different for students. So how do you handle that? Do you use money from the first batch in the same way you use it from this coming second back. So there's a lot of details to be worked out. That's for sure. So everybody read that. Ask Rex. And then you tell me what's going on. Because I don't know. But Dana, have you ever checked out the Cal Matters website?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. So, you know, I know it's not specifically a news site about higher ed or financial aid, but there's some interesting reporting. So Cal Matters, it's a nonpartisan, nonprofit journalism group that reports on happenings in our state capital, covering a ton of topics, including education, healthcare, criminal justice, and economic inequality. And so I get their email newsletter. And last week, Friday, an article that caught my attention regarding the fiasco going on in California's Employment Development Department, or EDD. What was once thought to be just $1 billion or $2 in fraud and unemployment claims is now possibly $10 billion or more.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
They cite the most egregious example of certainly a fraudster's work was 1,700 claims came from one single address.
Man.
Yeah, this is where, you know, this is where people were getting confused because they were getting multiple envelopes from EDD at their address. And then somebody nearby would show up and go, hey, did you happen to get a bunch of letters at your address? And, you know, and they're all just phony claims. So there's not much. There's so much more on this subject. I don't want to bring it all, bring everyone down. But if you worry that some of our students, and this is where some of my colleagues get a little too wrapped up. If you're worried that some of our students are taking financial aid and skipping town, we have nothing on what's going on at EDD. Yeah, let's all keep that in mind, everybody. We have nothing compared to that. And again, our students tend to be good because they are wanting to get smarter and go to school.
My goodness, $10 billion, Dennis. Mm-hmm. Man.
Absolutely.
All right, Dennis. So how's your conference travel budget this year?
I don't know. Maybe a little bit of money left over. See, we haven't gone anywhere.
Maybe a little something, something?
Maybe.
All right. Well, guess what? Mm. Justin Drager, president of NASFA, just sent a message to members regarding the NASFA annual conference. Even with everything that's going on, NASFA is planning for an in-person conference to be held in National Harbor, Maryland. That's just across the Potomac River from Alexandria and just down the road from Washington, D.C. As Justin explains in his letter, the association is planning for an in-person conference with a few side options for members. For example, you can pay for the full conference or buy one-day passes any number of days of the conference. The big thing, this will not be a hybrid-style conference. But there is an option to purchase what Justin calls the conference retrospectives package. This includes recordings of conference sessions, including the live Q&A from sessions. If you pay to attend the conference, you get the retrospective package. So, Dennis, the big question, can I go?
I don't know. Are you willing to drive out that way? I don't know if I can, I don't know if you want to fly that way, right?
I want to fly.
So you got an extra couple weeks for travel?
You know, if you're willing to let me, I don't mind driving. I've actually driven out there before.
Okay. Okay. Well, we'll think about it then, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, the prices aren't too bad. At the very minimum, we might do some retrospective one for some of our staff. You know, support the organization.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And hey, for those of you listening, you can check out more information on the conference on the NASFA website at nasfa.org.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do one more. Let's do one more news item here, and then we got to roll along. You know, so even if I can't afford to send the whole staff this year to NASFA, I definitely want you guys all to go to CISFA for sure.
Absolutely. Of course, that's a given, I hope, right?
Yes. But until then, did you know that February is Financial Aid Awareness Month?
You know, real talk, Dennis. No, I did not know.
No, this one of those things that sneaks up on us. So I don't know who decided this. But NASFA is ready to help us spread the word to our students and others. They've created a special webpage at nasfa.org/FinAidFeb. That's FinAidFeb, FinAidFeb. There's downloads there, resources, and they're even having a contest if you enter where they will choose a financial aid office and treat them to coffee. How nice is that?
I think that is awesome.
So to spread the word via Twitter, at least, you can hashtag FinAidFeb. So that's all we have time for news. Let's move on to our little last segment here and roll along for the day, everyone. And just like that, we are back for our last segment, everyone. Get that last one in there, Dana, on your fifth or sixth cup of a tea or whatever.
I'm actually, after the show, I'm going to start on my seventh cup.
Good for you. Well, we really don't have a whole lot of time for I Dare You To's, but I will just let people know, and I'll throw this out there. Maybe we'll throw it on the next show. I went to a bookstore, an actual bookstore in person.
Like a real live bookstore.
Like a real live bookstore, and I bought books. Whoa. So maybe I'll share some of those at our next show with everybody.
Okay, and so you're going to leave us in suspense then.
I'm going to leave everyone in suspense, just like you are, I'm sure, Dana, too. I'm sure you're going to save up a nice I Dare You To selection for next show.
Oh, yeah, you know I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready. Everybody listening, I'm going to be ready for you.
That's the way I like it. Well, Dana, that's about all we have time for today, but there's always our next episode. So I want to thank you, Dana, as always, for joining us here on What's Brewing CISFA, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And hey, everyone, check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. And if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at WBCISFA@gmail.com.
For this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com. For those using Apple devices, open your podcast app. To find us, search for CISFA. You can also find our episodes at wbcisfa.podbean.com. That's pod and bean as one word. And you can find us on Spotify, Pandora, and iHeartRadio now. And lastly, you can listen to us through the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dennis and myself.
This has been episode number 56. I'm sorry, number 60. Oh, my goodness. Recorded the morning of Tuesday, February 2nd, 2021. Have a great day.
And have a great week.